So when we think, what do we think when a tragedy strikes? I mean, go to the level of a 9/11 or a plane crash or any other event that takes the life of some but not others. If I go all the way back to 9/11, a young man that I swam with when we were about 10 and 11 years old was one of the first bodies found at the bottom of the towers. Why him and not others? You know, when many people are interviewed after a tragedy like that, many times we'll hear the phrase, "God spared me and answered my prayers." And I just want to stand up and yell and go, "Oh, don't bring God into this." Oh, no, 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 no. I don't think God plays that game. When Jesus was once asked to comment on the case of a man born blind, he was challenged with this question: who sinned, this man or his parents? Because somebody had to be at fault, right? And Jesus answered, "No one. It just happened." It's a little bit of the Raker Standard Version, but it's what it says. Philip Yancey, whose book on prayer has helped me tremendously, says this: "I do not doubt that God answers prayer. Rather, I struggle with the inconsistency of those apparent answers. We pray, but does it do any good? Some people say, well, if God knows everything, then why pray? Or if God is going to do what God is going to do anyways, why pray?" Now, we're not going to answer every question today about prayer, but we are going to answer one. What about unanswered prayer? And clearly, from James, wrong motives is a problem. We ask for the wrong motive. When our hearts are not after the things of God, prayers will not be answered. There are other reasons, but in some ways they come back to this one thing. I ask the band to sing a song for us.
Just the other night, at a hometown football game, my wife and I ran into my old high school flame. As I introduced them, the past came back to me. I couldn't help but think the way things used to be. She was the one that I'd wanted for all times. Each night I'd spent praying God would make her mine. If he'd only grant me this wish I'd wish back then, I'd never ask for anything again. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Her when you're talking, because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayer. She wasn't quite the angel I remembered in my dream. Tell the time it changed me, her eyes too it seems. We tried to talk about the old days, there wasn't much we could recall. I guess the Lord knows what he's doing after all. And as she walked away, I looked at my wife, and then and there I thanked for the gifts in my life. Sometimes I thank God your unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs. Just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered. All too often unanswered. God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers.
Nicely done. Give them a hand. God always has a plan. God is never late. Think about that. God is never late. God always has a plan. Sometimes that's the reason for unanswered prayer. We don't know the best plan. Sometimes sin disrupts communication with God. Here's what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1. When you spread out your hands in prayer, he says, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. I'm like, what in the world? Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Whew. I don't think we need anything else. I don't know what God wants me to do. There it is. Malachi, another prophet in the Old Testament, says that those who pay exploitative wages, who break marriage vows through adultery, who treat illegal immigrants badly, who refuse to share food with the hungry or provide shelter to the homeless, risk losing God's ears to their prayers. Whew. Political issues and domestic issues have a direct effect on our prayers. And we got to watch out. Today's culture, Lord have mercy. If I disagree with you, then one of us is evil. No. Watch out. I sometimes like to say, in our hatred of hate, don't be hateful. I think that sums up much of what he's saying here. God lays out 5 conditions of answered prayer. Much of it contained from this passage from Isaiah. So I asked your church to do some bulletin notes in there. I love to give people notes to fill in blanks. And so you've got them in there. And if you want to follow along, and we'll do that. And you've got slides, right? Who's got slides? Are you doing slides? Awesome. I got to tell you when to hit them. Oh, dear Lord. Lord, answer that prayer right now. Okay, cool. Now, keep going. We keep going. Yep. One more. Okay, yeah, one more. There we go. Number one, a relationship with God. 5 conditions for answered prayer. First of all, a relationship with God. John 15:7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you can ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. It's a great promise, but there's a condition. Whatever you ask will be given to you if you remain in me and my words remain in you. In other words, fill up your life with God's word. And the life of Jesus will be in you. Pay attention to God's word, not Oprah and not Dr. Phil. Lord, help us if we get our spirituality from people on TV. Now, I do love Dr. Phil's phrase. I don't know if you've ever watched him or seen him, and a little pop psychology, but I do use his phrase often. I'll look at somebody and I'll go, how's that working for you? Isn't that a great question?
You know, somebody's frustrated or doing something they probably maybe not ought not to be doing. It's like, how's that working out for you?
Are you trying to pray on your own terms? Pray according to God's condition. First, get your relationship with God straight. Get into His Word. 1 John chapter 3 says, "Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And we receive from Him anything we ask." That's the promise. "Because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him." Oh, let's stop there for a second. Because we obey His commands and we do what pleases Him. Doesn't say what pleases me. This is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He has commanded us. Wow. Praying is not about asking God for His will, but making sure that our lives are in His will. Sometimes I pray a prayer more frequently than not in the morning. God, You're going to be at work today. Help me to see You and help me to cooperate with You. It's just an acknowledgement that God's working. 1 John 5:14 says, "This is the assurance we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything," she's doing a great job, "that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of Him." That's great confidence. I love this. Prayer is all about a relationship, and that's the first condition of answered prayer. Second, live in forgiveness. Live in forgiveness. This is crucial. I often like to use the Phillips translation of the New Testament. He only translated the New Testament books, the 39 books. So that's what Phillips is all about. "This is why I tell you, whatever you pray about and ask for, believe that you have received it and it will be yours." Now, I got news for you. I want a new car. I really do. and I can't go to the car dealer and walk around the car praying, "Lord, I believe it's mine." That's not what God's saying. "And whenever you stand praying, you must forgive anything that you're holding against anyone else, and your Heavenly Father will forgive you your sins." I have threatened for 30 years to do a series of sermons called Scissors, the passages I'd like to cut out of Scripture. Here's one of them. If I'm holding anything against somebody else, I need to lay it down. You know, I've met some people in my life who are, they are masters at holding grudges. They can hold a grudge better than anybody I've ever seen. What's that about? How's that working for you? God says it's going to plug up your prayers. Boy, we could go off on forgiveness and why we don't like to forgive people. I think one of the main reasons we don't like to forgive is because we think the other person is going to get away with something. As if it's our job to make sure they don't. Unforgiveness takes us right out of a relationship with God. Holding a grudge or resentment against someone will short-circuit our connection to heaven. If I want to be connected vertically to God, I've got to make sure my connections with people are okay. Horizontal's got to be good so that vertical can be good. Vertical's got to be good so that horizontal can be good. We can't have one without the other. Unforgiveness creates a lid on our lives that won't allow anything to get to us. The home, the family, is the breeding ground for resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness. Stuff that people did 30 years ago, and those people aren't even alive anymore, and some people hold grudges. Let it go. 1 Peter 3:7 says this. "In the same way, you husbands," pay attention, must give honor to your wives. Treat her with understanding as you live together. Now, it doesn't say understand her.
I mean, you capture this. With understanding. Okay? She may be weaker than you, and we're just talking physical, right? But she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. If you don't treat her as you should, your prayers will not be heard. Whoa. Husbands, pay attention. Pay attention. You wonder why prayers aren't heard? Look at this relationship. If it ain't clicking at home, it ain't going to click with God. Plain and simple. Watch out. Disharmony in the home blocks prayers. If things aren't right in my relationships at home, they're not going to be right in my relationship with God. And therefore, my prayers will not be heard. Shipwrecked relationships mean shipwrecked prayers. Get the people side of things right. So I do, I think I said something about this, and Larry did when I was here last time in, November. So after 30 years of leading local churches, I've gone into an extension ministry. So I'm still under appointment by the bishop, doing executive leadership coaching. So I work with business leaders and teams, and I also work with sports coaches and athletes, and because it's all about people and leadership. Sometimes I have a little bit of a difficult time convincing some leaders that their problem is a people problem, not a business problem, because their business is people. I don't care what business you're in. People. Got to get the people thing right. And it starts with the person we see in the mirror. Third condition for answered prayer, serve the poor. Serve the poor. Proverbs 21:13. If you stop your ears to the cries of the poor, your cries will go unheard, unanswered. It's pretty clear. It's pretty clear. You know why I think this is? Because if I read Scripture correctly, the heart of God is closest to the poor. And we're not just talking poor in spirit, we're talking poor in everything. It's the same principle at work about forgiveness. If you forgive, you will be forgiven and then be in right relationship with God. If you pay attention to the needs of others, God will pay attention to your needs. This Christian life stuff is not for the weak need. It's not a life of ease and pleasure. Christianity is about getting your life straightened out. Now, not before you come to Jesus. Jesus helps straighten it out. But the point is, I got to get my life headed in the right direction. It's about realizing I can't do it on my own, that we need inside help. And so we invite the God of the universe to come in. And then you seek to follow him and live in him and become like him. Christianity is not about sitting back and feeling sorry for yourself or anyone else. It's a cooperative effort between me and God. Remember Isaiah we read earlier? It's the way we treat those who are underprivileged and without others to help them. If I was the Good Samaritan walking on that road from Jericho to Jerusalem and I saw that guy in the ditch over there, my unsanctified part of me wants to go, you idiot, why were you walking that road by yourself? You did it to yourself. But God says, it doesn't matter why it ended up in the ditch. It matters that I brought you along at the right time. When we imitate God and value the things that God's heart values. Let me say that again. When we imitate God and value the things that God's heart values, he's ready to listen to the kind of prayers that come from that kind of heart. It's what we mentioned, it's what we talk about with prayer is about God's will being done, not our will. And God knows when we love whom God loves, our hearts will want the things that God's heart wants.
And God's heart is close to the poor. Number four, believe that God will answer your prayers. Oh, faith comes into play here. James chapter 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. There's the next slide. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. So does that mean all doubts are bad? No. No. It does mean, God, I believe, but I have no clue how you're going to do this one. That's okay. That's a real prayer. Faith is not desire. Some people think, I've got this tremendous desire. I've got these goals that I'm praying about, family goals, spiritual goals, financial goals, health goals. I'm praying about all these goals. I really have a desire, but desire is not faith. Desire can lead to faith, but it's not faith. If I take a seed and I plant it in the ground and in a few months it sprouts and I get a tomato plant from it, is that a miracle? No. I just planted the right kind of seed. I simply cooperated with the laws of the universe and it happened. When I pray believing and following the conditions laid out in Scripture and God answers, is that a miracle? I don't think so. I think it's simply in line with the universal laws that God has set in place. Does that diminish the work of? Absolutely not. It doesn't diminish God. And it's not a manipulative formula. Oh, if I take this and this and this and I mix it all together, I've got God over a barrel. No. And that leads us to our fifth one. Pray in Jesus' name. John 16:24. You've not asked anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. What's so special about Jesus' name? I got to be honest with you. For a long time, I had no idea. I mean, I know who Jesus is, and I get the, you know, the salvation story, but I'm like, I'd hear everybody pray, and they'd end their prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. And I kind of thought it was the signal that the prayer was about to end. Like a spiritual sign-off. 10-4, good buddy. You know, the Walter Cronkite of prayer. And that's the way it is. Kind of a cutoff. But some people think in Jesus' name is a mystical password that gets you to God. Like a secret code word. Here are all my requests. Oh, and by the way, in Jesus' name. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? It means I don't ask on my own merit. God, I don't deserve for you to listen to my prayer. I don't deserve for you to answer my prayer. But because of the work of Jesus. That's it. It means when we come to God the Father, we realize we have no right to ask. Is it always necessary to end the prayer in Jesus' name at the end of every prayer? I don't think it's necessary if you've got the right attitude. But it's a good idea. Kind of reminds us, you know. I was in a church and I didn't end prayers that way all the time. Oh my word, you would have thought I took the cross out of the church. Or changed the worship time. How's that working for you? Sometimes we just, well, it's got to have this formula. No. I could begin the prayer, Father, I come in the name of Jesus. That works. But it's just that reminder to us. Sometimes I think we think that our lives get in the way of answered prayer. I'm not deserving. I'm not there. I haven't thought about doing this. Does somebody have a $100 bill with them I could borrow? No, I'm serious. There's always one. And it's churches are amazed sometimes when I ask for that. And they're like, nobody has. Yeah, they do. Somebody does. Woo! Look, Lord! Woo! Where's that offering basket? Right. Here's the thing that gets in the way of our faith more than anything else, I think. How many of you would like this $100 bill? Raise your hand. You don't want it? Okay. He gave it to me, so I. Yeah. Now, how many of you still want this $100 bill? Really? Creased, crumbled. How many of you still want the $100 bill?
I don't want it anymore.
Now, why would anybody want a crumbled, creased, stepped on, dirty bill? Because it still has value. Church, I got news for you. Some of you feel like that bill. Stepped on, creased, dirty. You say, Pastor, but you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter. God does. Are you still worthwhile? Yes, you are, because of the work of Jesus. Lost no value whatsoever. No matter what's been done to you, no matter what you have done or left undone. So often, church, we think, well, we don't ask because we don't think we should. Or we fear that God, when we say, hey God, it's me. There's a lot of people I meet who are like, they have this image that God says, oh, no, it's you again. No. I guarantee you, when you say, hey, God, it's me, you know what God does? God goes, oh, I'm so glad. I'm so happy. Let's talk. What's getting in the way of your prayers? Maybe it's some of the stuff we've talked about. Maybe it's this idea that you just don't feel like you're worthy to ask. And I guarantee you, you are because of the work of Jesus. None of us deserves for God to hear us. None of us deserves for God to answer us. I want to challenge you to be bold in asking God for what he wants, for what you want, and what you need. And God knows, but he wants you to ask. Because he's ready to help us. Amen? God, thanks so much for listening to our prayers. Help us, oh God, to live the kind of life that you ask of us and require of us. And thank you that you don't leave us to do it on our own. But you work within us. God, all the prayers that are in our hearts right now, some we've never prayed because we didn't feel worthy. And some we've not prayed boldly and in believing and in faith. And some, oh God, have been blocked off by unforgiveness and grudges. And some have been had a lid capped on them because we have turned away from generously helping the poor. So God, give us courage, but also help us to change our attitude and our actions to match your heart. Pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.